It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Welcome, everybody, to Golf DMV on 1500 AM, Federal News Network Podcast 1 and GolfDMVPodcast.com. If you hear all the noise in the background, that's because we are at the season finale for Road to Par's Putt and Puff event at Lake Presidential. Let me tell you something. Of finales, this is a finale right here.
They got comfortable.
Here at Lake Presidential, you normally don't hear a lot of noise like this at a golf course, but at these networking events, Desiree, by the way, who is the, I guess she's the CEO, owner of Road to Par LLC, she puts on these events. We're going to have her here. Listen, this is a. Here's the deal with this show. There's a loose format to it today.
Okay.
So there's people here that we know. We've got Desiree who's going to swing by. We've got our in-house resident DJ who makes all the music for us. He's going to swing by. We've got Byron Westbrook from formerly of the Washington Redskins. With the Salisbury. He's a DMV guy.
Yep.
He's here. We've got him, so he's going to swing by. Garrett Strong from Lake Presidential who works here. He's an instructor. He said he's going to swing by. So for the next hour, there's three things that's going to happen. Number one, you're going to hear the Golf DMV podcast and the Golf DMV radio show on 1500 AM. Number two, you're going to hear a lot of music in the background.
A lot of music.
And a lot of noise.
A lot of laughter.
And a lot of laughter. And then number three, I don't know what else you're going to get.
Right.
You're going to get a lot of guests, and so we don't really know the order.
It's a free-for-all.
It's definitely a free-for-all. And ladies and gentlemen, by the way, coming to the table now, we've got Byron Westbrook. He's making his way over to the table now. And Byron, you're going to have to throw his headphones on so you can hear us and everything like that. He's coming to the table. Really appreciate his time today on Golf DMV. Again, on 1500 AM, all things Golf DMV. You can go to GolfDMVPodcast.com for it. Byron, thank you so much for your time, man. So before we get started with just some golf stuff, Byron, you're a DMV guy, right? You grew up, you went to DeMatha High School, went to Salisbury, played five seasons with the Redskins from 2007.
To 2011.
To 2011. Cool. Let's talk a little bit about growing up here in the DMV as an athlete, because D.C. area has a great reputation for basketball.
Right.
But there's some good football players here, great football players like yourself. I mean, Lamont Jordan, a lot of guys who are DMV born and bred, made it to the league. Talk a little bit about being an NFL guy in the DMV.
Oh, it was a big thing for me just because I was an undrafted free agent. Like you said, Lamont Jordan, he came out, he got drafted. My brother, he was drafted the third round by the Eagles. So I took the long, hard road to get to the NFL. Went to Salisbury State, it was a D3 school. So I had a grind, but it was all worth it. 5 years with the home team. I mean, it was a great, enjoyable time.
Right. No, absolutely. Now, at DeMatha, because, you know, DeMatha, I mean, whether it's basketball, football, whatever. That's what they do. Talk about how competitive it was getting into DeMatha, getting playing time at DeMatha, getting noticed at DeMatha.
Yeah. So when I was coming to DeMatha, Boys and Girls Club was very prevalent, you know, in PG County, Allentown, Camp Springs, Fort Washington. So all the great kids from those Boys and Girls Club, they were going to DeMatha. So you never had to, the laurels as far as just, okay, I'm better than everybody, I'm a star. No, everybody was great. Everybody was an all-star on their team. So you had to grind. Yeah. But it taught me a lot of things about myself, about being patient. Perseverance. I was growing, so my knees were hurting, so I had a bit of adversity. So, but it was all worth it. It made me very competitive, made me a better athlete, and made me a better person. So, it was a great opportunity at DeMatha, and I enjoyed it.
Wow! Now you chose Salisbury. What made you choose Salisbury?
So I had a couple D1, AA, low tier schools, D2 schools that were in like New York, Maine, New Hampshire. That I really didn't like the code like that. So Salisbury,
keep it real, bro.
Right,
keep it real.
Right. Salisbury is like 2 hours away from Fort Washington, 2.5 hours where I grew up at. So it was far away from me. Yet if I needed to get home, I was able to get home. And I never came home anyway. So, but the coach literally called my mom and my dad every day. Where's Byron? So eventually I went down there, took a visit. I loved the campus. It was a small campus, about 7,000 people on the whole school. And I said, yeah, I'm going. And I made a name for myself down there.
Definitely did. So, you know, you get this call from the Redskins, undrafted free agent. You were signed on the team. What was that day like for you?
Oh, man, it was awesome because I didn't expect to get drafted. Again, went to Salisbury, D3. A lot of kids don't get drafted by D3 schools. But my agent had real good ties with Vinny Serrato, who was the GM at the time. I had a chance to go participate at at the rookie mini camp, and it wasn't guaranteed that I was going to even get a contract, but I showed off. You had a couple of interceptions at the rookie mini camp, I signed a contract, and that was my road to my 5 years with the Redskins.
Wow. Nice. Yeah. And a lot of people, I mean, that's like a dream come true. Yeah. I mean, you grow up, you're playing football, then you get to play for the home team.
Right.
You know, when did it become real to you, like, yeah, I'm in the league?
Yeah, I mean, it became real when I'm in the same locker room as Sean Taylor, Santana Moss, Clinton Portis, Mark Brunell. So, and the best thing for me was that my brother was 5 years before me. So I kind of was around NFL players already. So I wasn't more shell shocked. It was more so I was ready to get in and put a mark on my, you know, put my mark on that team and do whatever I can to make that team.
You know, it's funny because a lot of people have assumptions of what it's like to be in the league.
Right.
But you lived it.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you hear from folks and you're like, yo, that's just not the reality of what it's like there?
Man, it's a business. It's a business before anything. I remember my second year that I knew I should have been playing way more than what I was, but a lot of guys that were in front of me was making X amount of millions of dollars, and I wasn't making millions of dollars. Right. So at the end of the day, my talent didn't matter. The money mattered. Mm-hmm. And some franchises, they'll go with talent. Snyder, the Redskins, nah. If I'm paying you $5 million, you better be playing. So they couldn't justify me playing. I'm making $400,000. Somebody else is making $8 million. They gotta play. I'm paying you $8 million. You gotta play.
Right.
And it showed me the business side of football more so than I thought. If I'm better, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm making plays, I should be playing. Mm-hmm. Some teams do that. The Redskins is not one of those teams.
It just wasn't one of them. Yeah, right. No, right, absolutely. And so you're in the league, you're playing with the Skins, you know, you're in the locker room. You know, it's funny because, like, fans have these built-up hatred for other teams, you know, like Redskins fans.
Speak on it now.
You know, hate Cowboys fans, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so we got these beefs in the streets about our teams. Do players care at all about this?
Nah, players want to get paid, so they don't care if you're a Redskin, you know, Cowboy, Eagle fan. As long as that check coming in on Sunday, hey, we good.
You know, one thing that I'm as progressive as most people, but, you know, and I used to do it every year, but play fantasy sports, right? But one thing fantasy sports have done is kind of dehumanize the athlete
to where
you're no longer a person to us. You're an asset on some fantasy league, and I just want my points.
Sure.
What is your thoughts on, like, the fantasy thing and just understanding that, yo, players are people, and you know, like, if I don't play this week because my ankle's messed up, don't get mad because your stupid fantasy team, you know, may not get the points that I get you every week.
Now, I tend to not play fantasy football just because of that reason. I just know how much our bodies go through as far as just pain, going, fighting through the pain. Like, I'm taking shots before games, every game, just to get through the game. Them fantasy points don't count. I mean, to us, stats really don't count. Sometimes we want to get the win. If you're winning, you don't get cut. You know, if you keep winning, you keep a job. And you see how the Redskins always have turnover on the roster all the time. They're not winning. Mm-hmm. But you don't see the Patriots have a lot of turnover on their roster because they have a great nucleus and all that stuff. But our fantasy stats, I mean, people don't care.
Right.
Individuals care. Like you know, AB right now for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. He's an individual guy. He cares about his stats. He don't care about, you know, the team wins.
Right.
So he's a great fantasy player to get, but nobody on the Patriots, you rather not get none of those athletes over there. So.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, at the time that we're recording this, it's right before the start of the season.
Right.
And so a lot of guys, man, who were on rosters this time last week aren't on rosters now.
Right.
And being in the league 4 or 5 years, I mean, you've probably seen this. You've developed relationship with guys and work with them for several weeks through the summer and in camp, and then next thing you know, they're gone.
Right.
Talk a little bit about how hard that is. I mean, you build up these friendships, you build up a kind of a brotherhood in the locker room, and then someone's traded or they're cut.
Right. It's funny because my first year, I got cut, you know, but I came back with the Redskins. But just like you said, there's 90 people there. Only 53 can make the team. So, you know, 37 people, they're going to be gone. And you never know what their future, as far as football is concerned, where would it take them? So you want to build those bonds, but at the same time, you kind of just wait till the regular season comes before you really get to know somebody, really become somebody's friend. Because, again, you never know who's going to be there.
Right.
You know Clinton Portis is going to be there. You know, like I said, Santana Moss, Sean Taylor, LaRon Landry. You know those guys are going to be there. But the lower tier guys, the undrafted guys, it's hard to try to maintain that friendship when you just not, you never know if they're gonna be gone or not. So
right. Do you play golf at all?
Man, I attempt golf. It's a difference.
Well, we all do.
We all do. Join the club, brother.
Right.
You made it to the highest tier of the professional, you know, professional sports, playing football, tough sport. What was your view of golf before you tried it, and what is your view of it now?
So I didn't, like, before I got into golf, I never was interested in it. You know, then Tiger start winning, you say you start taking notice of that. Then when I start having free time now, then I start getting out there. My brother got me interested in playing golf, so he always needs somebody to pick on when he go out there and play. So for the first 2 years, I didn't have my own clubs. I was using his clubs. You know, my brother's shorter than me, so you know, the club length and all, it was, and my hands might be a little bit bigger than his, so the grip. So I was out there just swinging clubs, not knowing what to do. But as older as I got, you know, I got more interested in it, and I started watching it on TV, things of that nature. So, and I just, I literally just talked to the pro. I told him next April, I'm in here taking lessons. So, at this point, I want to get better. You know, I've been doing it for a leisure, but now I at least want to be decent at it. So I'm going to take it serious definitely in 2020.
Get ready for a lifetime of frustration.
So you want to be good enough that you can talk smack to your friends.
Exactly. And I want to make sure that my ball goes straight, because the woods, I'm tired of wood. I'm tired of water. I'm tired of sand traps. So where I want to hit the ball, that's where I want to hit the ball. So 2020 is going to be my year.
Here's what I tell my instructors. I don't want to be great. I just want to be better than these guys. Ladies and gentlemen, but you got a project going out, going on right now, like your podcast and stuff. Talk a little bit about what you got going on.
I got a podcast called The Be Easy Podcast. Basically, it's just about life things, you know, what's going on in society, things that make us laugh out loud, and how to be better human. So we're on all podcast platforms, Apple, Google, SoundCloud, Stitcher. We're just talking about, you know, again, what I'm going through as a 35-year-old man with my podcast. She's a 30-year-old woman. So just life stuff, you know, we're not talking about anything that people aren't related to, you know, divorce, marriage, relationship problems, money, everything that we all go through. We just giving our insight on it, so it's a great thing, man. Please check it out,
The Be Easy Podcast.
Yes.
Byron Westbrook, thank you so much for joining the Golf DMV Podcast again, everybody. It's the Golf DMV Podcast. We're out here at Lake Presidential, the Road to Par event. Desiree Walker. Desiree is in the house, too. Desiree, you got to grab it. Again, everybody, we've got a plan and a rundown for the show. But when you're at an event like this, you just kind of go with the punches. I mean, it just is what it is.
Yep.
You know, and so we've got Desiree here. Desiree's at the microphone now. What an event you've got going on. It's the finale.
Season finale.
It's the season finale for the Putt and Puff event. Mm-hmm. We came out here for one of the earlier ones. I don't know if it was the first one. It might have been like the second or third one.
The first three.
Yeah, exactly. So let me just say this. At the end of every season, you kind of evaluate your golf game, the season, to see what was some successes, some failures, and things like that. And I got to say, and I think I can speak for the Golf DMV team, one of the big successes of this golf season for us was meeting Desiree and being affiliated with you. And so despite, you know, still, you know, ridiculously high scores for me, it's still been a successful golf season meeting you. So we're at the finale here. Talk a little bit about, you know, your season and how you thought, you know, the Putt and Puff networking events went.
Well, I first want to say thank you for definitely coming out and for supporting. It's so funny. Early on, I was like, you know, a podcast would be amazing and dope. I don't even know where to begin. And I remember reaching out to you all when I was like Googling, trying to find, you know, podcasts in the DMV. And I found you all and I was like, I've got to connect with them. Like, this is amazing. This is spectacular. And so as I went into my third season with Putt and Puff, you know, my whole goal was to get more people in golf. Get more people active with golf. Stay connected with golf. And when I was able to connect with you all, it was just, I mean, it was like instantaneous.
Yeah,
like,
sure,
we got to connect. We got to do it. And so I will say that Road to Par has definitely had an amazing season. A lot of lessons, a lot of growth. Just like in golf, you know, some shots are bad, some shots are good, but you learn from each shot. Mm-hmm. And so as we it with our series finale of summer, series of happy hour, if you will, I would say that I would walk away with a lower handicap. Right? Road to Par has a lower handicap this season, and just growing and just being a part of the game, right? So I will say for me, my benchmark is each event, how many people say, I want lessons? And I will say, even tonight, I've had 5, 6, 7 people say, I really got to get out here. This is beautiful. This is amazing. I want to be a part of this. Yep. And that's my goal. You know, we're all on this road apart together. So to be able to share it, to go play golf together, to learn more golf, to meet new people and network, that's what it's all about. And so I appreciate you all, and I appreciate everyone listening and for coming out and supporting.
Absolutely. That's Ray Walker with you.
Yes, absolutely.
Rose the Park LLC. Thank you so much for being able to join us on this edition while we're here. And by the way, I was able to bring my wife out. My lovely wife, Sierra, is here. I said, hey, you got to come. It's the season finale. You got to come out. And so she was able to come out.
Thank you for coming.
We're here at Lake Presidential. And if you're at Lake Presidential, we've been trying to get with Garrett for the longest. And he's here. Garrett, come on to the microphone. We want to talk to you a little bit about what you do here at Lake Presidential and the course itself. He's grabbing the mic. Again, this is our wild card show, end of the season at Lake Presidential. Garrett, thank you so much for being able to join us on Golf DMV.
Man, thank you for having me.
So you are, what's your title here? What do you do here? Because I see you a lot on Instagram, and you're like giving lessons and stuff out on the course. Talk a little bit about what you do.
So I'm the assistant instructor here. I also work in the pro shop part-time, but I mainly just love to teach. It's my main passion.
Nice. So talk a little bit about your golf story. How long have you been playing?
So I started at Glendale when I was like 5 or 6, maybe. That's where I got born and raised.
Are we all a little sad that Glendale's closed now?
Yeah. I was bawling like a baby on Sunday and Monday.
Were you there?
You were there? Me and my dad actually had the honor. We took the flag down on Sunday. They played taps they had a bagpipe guy come in and play. Uh-huh. It was so cool. So sad, though. But yeah, so that's where I started. With Troy Beck, actually, at her summer camp program. And then I played high school golf at South River and loved what I did. I probably took about 2-3 years off, actually. And then I just started watching teaching videos all the time, and I would help my buddies out, and I just wanted to make a living out of it. And then that's how I got here.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
And so as someone who gives instruction, what's some of the, like, main repetitive mistakes that amateurs make?
That's a really good question. I'd say actually the one thing that I would say most people do the most that drives me up a wall is when they keep their head down too long.
Okay.
I just like broke the rule of instruction right there, but that drives me.
Well, because
insane.
everybody you play with, whether they're an instructor or not, they always say, "Oh, you lift your head up, you lifted your head up." And I heard that's like the worst advice
ever. It drives me insane. Like it's very cringeworthy for me whenever I hear it. Mainly because like when you keep your head down too long, I don't want to bore your listeners, but when you keep your head down too long, it actually limits your chest rotation. So if you look at your typical like amateur hacker, their lead arm will like break down and get like very chicken like wingish, and that's because like they're stuck and they got nowhere to go, and that's mainly because they're doing.
Okay, right.
So that's probably like my number one that drives me insane.
By the way, don't ever think you're boring our listeners. They listen to us every week, and I can't imagine how less entertaining this could be to listen to us.
And then I would say the other thing is people's like afraid / misunderstanding of how to hit down on a golf ball.
Oh, so explain like, that to us.
Yeah. Dynamic golf, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. So okay. Like, I wish I actually had a club with me, but like when I actually flew out to California to shadow with George Gankus for a while, that's where I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. But basically, like most golfers don't understand that the club is already pre-designed to get the ball in the air, right? Mm-hmm. It comes with loft already.
Right.
So when most golfers break down, they try and flip it and scoop it into the air instead of hitting down on it. When you have compression, that's what gets the ball up in the air.
Right.
So that, like my first 30 minutes with a lesson sometimes is I just try and hit, I will actually try and have someone hit in front of the golf ball instead of behind it.
Okay.
And like the first time they do it, it blows their mind.
Right.
Because it's a different sound.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So like you guys can try this too if you want to. The next time you go hit balls or whatever, put a T on the your right. You guys are right handed.
So well, I'm left handed.
Oh, good.
But,
awesome. All right. So if you're right handed, put a T on the left side of the golf ball and try and hit the T. Just lay it down flat. Mm-hmm. And most people like that blows their mind. Because they try and hit the T and then they actually compress the front of the golf ball and then
it's gone.
There we go.
Right.
Yeah. And that's how I get them started.
It's a whole different situation at that point.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, like, what was it like? Because I've been following Gankus for a while before I met you. When I saw your story, how you got to learn from him, that must have been a dope experience. What was that like?
I can't get back there soon enough. It was so cool, man. I mean, he's the nicest guy in the world. He knows more about the golf swing than I hope to ever imagine.
Right.
And he actually loves what he does. That's the thing to me that kind of shocked me the most.
He seems like an actual salt of the earth type dude.
He
like
is,
it's
man.
Not a show. Yeah. Like that's how he is.
Yeah. Like I like try and dress like professional. professionally as I can when I teach, because I think it's the way it's supposed to be done.
Right.
But like, and that's not a shot on anybody like him, but he'll teach in jeans, or like he'll teach in cargo shorts and Gucci flip-flops and a nice and a polo, and like he's good to go.
Right.
Nice.
But he's, I mean, he cares more about the game than anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't have to spend any time with me. Like, I paid for my lesson, and I asked him to teach me some stuff, but right. he didn't have to. You know, he's making more money than anybody right. right now, and he didn't have to take... Like, if you were getting a lesson from him, he would pull me aside if I was hitting balls and say, hey, Garrett, like, I want to show you this. Oh, wow. Or...
Yeah. To help your instruction.
Yeah, he would be like, when you start out, you're going to see guys that do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And this is an example of it, and this is how a good way how to fix it.
Right.
And, he took me to lunch both days.
Didn't oh, wow.
To, didn't have to do that.
No, right.
Yeah, I was hitting balls, practicing, and he just said out loud, all right, I'm going to lunch, and I didn't pay any attention to it. Yeah. And he was like, what are you doing? I was like, what do you mean? He was like, get in the car. I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's go to lunch.
Nice, yeah. Nice, nice.
And so that was, I try and stay in touch with him on Instagram. I'll send him videos if I'm stumped on a student, and that's where it is right now.
Okay.
So I'm going to go back out in November.
Okay, that sounds like a plan.
Yeah, man, it's the coolest experience I've had so far teaching.
Nice, wow. Nice. Okay. So a couple of rapid-fire questions for you. What's your handicap?
I'm back to a scratch.
Wow, okay.
That's taking a lot of work.
Back to scratch.
Back to scratch, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to play 18. You can only take four clubs with you. What four are they?
Ooh. All right, my driving iron, my 7-iron, my 52, and my 58, my putter.
Okay, how far do you hit your 9-iron?
If I need to hit it far,
uh-huh.
I can probably hit it at least 170.
Oh, I got 9-iron?
Yeah, that's a strong 9.
Like, well, that is strong.
That's like the back of the stance. Yeah. I got to hood it a little bit and hit like a really like hard draw. Probably it's like stock 155.
That's still normally
7%.
Yeah, good.
And the sad part is, I don't hit it far compared to some of my buddies.
Good, right. Nice.
Like, wow. That's the sad part.
All right, dream foursome. It's you and three other players. Who are they?
Got to be Tiger, Phil. Man, that's a good question. Tiger, Phil. Sam Snead, actually.
Okay. All right. Going old school. I can dig it.
Sam Snead for sure.
So if there's one course you can play in the DMV, not Lake Presidential, where are you playing?
Oh, that's a good question, too.
Well, I mean, I'm a professional media guy, so
I'm curious. What would you guys pick?
I would pick somewhere. I would pick somewhere I haven't played, like Avenel or Congressional, just because I haven't played them before.
Yeah, you know what? I would probably say right now. I'd probably say TPC Avenel.
Okay. Oh, I played there. Did you hear that show? I don't mean that. Just course drop fans. Yeah, I was hanging out with Brant. I was there with Brant Snedeker. Actually,
no,
okay,
cool. So you saw.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Oh, did I just name drop? I'm sorry. I had the pleasure
of playing Kings Valley actually. So 2 years ago.
Nice.
So that would be so my number one, obviously.
Okay.
Because that's the best golf course in the area.
One course in this area you will never play.
Well, which
anymore?
One?
Yeah.
Marlton. Never again.
Everybody knows.
And I love that golf course, man, but that's broken my heart.
Marlton has taken many golfers' money over its time.
Oh,
yeah, no.
Goodness.
Never, ever. And by the way, we're going to talk about a golf course where no one should go.
Yeah.
And it's going to surprise you when we, you know.
Yeah. When we kill it.
Yeah, we're going to do that in the next segment. Coming up. Garrett, thank you so much for joining us on Golf
Thank
TV.
You guys for
really
me
appreciate
on.
It. Oh, yeah, absolutely, man.
I got to come back on soon again.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, maybe when it's a little quieter.
Yeah. These headphones actually work way better than I thought they would.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I've never done a podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I've always, you know, listened to them and seen them, like, when they're recorded. And I'm like, how can people talk when these are on?
Right.
But it's actually way easier than I thought it was going to be.
It's definitely great, especially in a room like this where it's really, really loud.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you, Garrett. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
We also want to bring to the table our resident DJ.
Yes.
But see, so I know him by three names, so I don't know which name to call him. So I'll wait until he gets to the microphone, and he can instruct us on what to call him, what not to call him.
His real name is.
Yeah, if he wants to disclose his real name.
Right.
So you've got several different names. What's the name you want us to call you?
Oh, King. Just call me King, man.
Okay, King. Thanks, Garrett. Take it easy, my man. So just call you King.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And you're the in-house resident DJ. Number one, thank you for all the tracks that
no
you
problem.
Provide for us.
Anything you need.
For free, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is so key right now.
Yeah, I mean, anything you need. I gave you access to the Google folder, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can dab and dab in that.
Great. Great, perfect. So you've been, well, you've been introduced to the game of golf. When was the last time you played?
Woo! Yeah, exactly. A minute. But hey, I'm a dad.
Got it. So now, just your initial thoughts. Starting the game and...
I'm athletically inclined a little bit. Mm-hmm. I played college football, so.
Okay.
Once I knew the mechanics of it, mm-hmm. and I'm coachable, so mm-hmm. once Lawrence introduced me and took me to the classes, I took to it well. I understand that it's a game against yourself more mm-hmm. than anybody, yeah. and you got to just pretty much, even if you're playing with four people, you got to just focus on you. Don't worry about what nobody else doing, right. yeah. you know, until you start drinking whiskey and stuff like that. but other than that, I do like the game. Yeah, I like it, man. I really like it.
When is the next time you're going to get out?
I'm going to try to play Enterprise before it gets cold.
Okay.
Because my house is right behind it. So.
Okay, great. You guys have any questions for the DJ? How can people get in touch with you if they want your tracks, if they want some music from you?
Just go to my IG, at Bolo's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. That's simple.
So explain that to the people, Bolo's Kitchen.
Well, Bolo's Kitchen is a story behind it. It's a brother who used to mentor me as far as, like, got me into producing hip-hop tracks. He was killed in like 1997. Drunk driver hit the car he was in, and he died. But we used to study martial arts, and we used to watch martial arts movies. So it was a character called Bolo.
I know Bolo.
So I was the biggest dude out there doing it, but I was very good at it. You know, we was doing tournaments and everything, and also I could cook. So we would train, go to our seafood house, then we would come back to D.C. and. You know, I'd be like, man, we could save money. This is go to the grocery store and get some food and I cook it. And I used to cook. And so he could rhyme, too, and he threw that in the rhyme. The line is just, I only eat from Bolo's Kitchen. So as a homage, as a homage to him, that's what I name everything. I name my production company. Everything is named.
Nice.
For that, only insider guys know that was in the group, but that's where that comes from.
Okay, because I never knew where you got that from. Because people would ask me all the time, why he go by that? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's the story behind it.
So this song you guys are hearing right now, not this song you're hearing in the background. Once we kill the mics here, the song that you'll be hearing us going out into the next segment of Golf DMV will be Bolo's Kitchen Original. Thank you so much, King. Really appreciate it, everybody. We'll be back. So listen, if you're a radio listener, you know the drill. It's going to be top of the hour news, and then we'll be back with part two. If you're a podcast listener, you know there's going to be some music taking you out. Yep. There's going to be a commercial read from our very own Lawrence Brooks, ladies and gentlemen. Very well done, by the way. And we'll be back with some course reviews, and I cannot wait to do our first radio teardown of a course. And that's coming up next, folks.
All right.
It's Golf DMV.
This is Golf DMV.
Hey, everybody. It's Claude from Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network and Podcast One. I want to invite you to join myself and Kevin Stanfield for the Federal Football Report this football season. Join us every day at 7 p.m. following the Redskins game. Again, that's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network on 1500 AM.
It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Welcome back to Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network, golfdmvpodcast.com, also on Podcast One. We were able to get the music turned down a little bit here at Lake Presidential.
It's a little bit better.
It's a little bit better. We're at the season finale of the putt and puff. Did you do any putting today, LB?
No, but I did at home.
Okay. Did you do any puffing today?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm going to finish some puffing when we finish this podcast.
And we've got Reggie here. Reggie, you putt at all today?
Yeah. I had a Romeo Giulietta.
Oh, he must have been. Did you putt?
No plan.
So the second part of the show, we want to do some course reviews because we haven't done some course reviews in a while. Of course, so we've got a ton of courses that we've got to review.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to start negative first, so we're going to push one course back. I want to start with something probably going to be short.
Mm-hmm.
Laytonville.
Yeah, it will be short. Yeah.
LB, Vern and I think Rick McCormick played Laytonville. I had to bow out of that round. So talk a little bit about Laytonville right off 108. It's in, Laytonville. That's why they call it Laytonville. Talk a little bit. Now, first of all, Laytonville, a Montgomery County course.
Yes, it is.
Usually in good shape.
Always. Yeah.
How did it look?
It looked great.
Go ahead, LB.
You
said great.
Well, for Montgomery County course,
okay,
it was par for the course. I mean, the greens were fine.
Yeah, greens were great.
Fine.
You remember some of them fairways, huh?
I'm trying to think. Which one? Like number the first number par five.
Yeah, the par five. Yeah.
Well, that one. But that is normal for that hole for me. I play it all the time. So it to me it was regular. It was regular Laytonville condition.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
Yeah.
Where'd you guys play from? Do you remember?
59.
Was it 59?
Yeah. 6,000?
How long did that make the first hole? The short par four?
Super short.
Super short. Because Vern usually he normally outdrives me.
Right.
So my ball was, when we go first, we couldn't find it because we were looking too far back.
Right.
And it was like 30 yards from the green.
It might have been a little closer than that.
Nice.
Because I was about 70 yards back.
This is for your ball.
For my ball, and we couldn't find it. And then I dropped the ball and hit. And then as I'm going up to the hole, and then Vern's like, well, who ball is this? Mm-hmm. And I was, oh, that's my ball.
Nice.
We couldn't even find his because his is probably past the green over in the trash.
Yeah.
You hit past the green.
I think so. And there's also for those who don't know, for Laytonville, right to the right side of the green, there's like a little cart path. It starts. It's kind of weird. There's no cart path, and then it starts right by the green, like that's closer than you would think. Mm-hmm. So you can basically drive and miss the fairway by only a yard or two, hit the cart path, and then bounce forward.
And then who knows what happens.
Exactly. Right.
Okay, cool. Right. And so Laytonville, you say it was in normal shape.
It was, yes.
What do you think?
It was in good shape.
He doesn't sound as confident as I did.
It wasn't north. It was all right. It's like not the best you've seen in MoCo, but it was in good shape. I don't want to make it sound like it was in bad shape. It was in fine shape, like a B.
Now, Laytonville kind of reminds me of what we try to do at Falls Row when we need a pick-me-up.
Yeah, beat down the course.
Did you guys get a pick-me-up there?
Well, I did because I've been playing like trash.
Right.
So I still couldn't putt, but I played better.
Okay.
You know, so.
I kind of held pat a little bit. It was either plus 17 or 18. It was basically both.
You've been killing it lately.
Better than past years.
Yeah.
Better than past years. But that thing happens, though, when you do well just a couple times. You know,
now, you expect it now.
Yeah, now 89 doesn't feel like 80 anymore. It feels like 90.
Right.
And you want to be, low 80s.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, so I shot 94. Rick McCormick, I think he didn't tell me. He wouldn't tell me his score, but it wasn't
110 or
something. Yeah, it was three digits for sure.
Now, speaking of Rick McCormick, I remember our past interview from last week, Marcus Johnson said in a joking manner that he was going to write a song called Rick McCormick.
Right. I did text Rick McCormick yesterday to remind him to listen to the podcast.
Sure.
And I put a little smiley face with a little smirk on it. And he texted me back. He said, well, what does the smirk mean? I said, well, you listen to the podcast. But I shouldn't. Let me qualify that. Too, I shouldn't have to tell him to listen to the podcast because I thought he was our friend.
If you're listening on the radio, you didn't hear anything that happened the last 15 seconds.
What did I say that was illegal?
Because we censor Lawrence on the show. So, so Laytonville, give it a grade.
All right, Vern, go first since you downed it.
I'm not down. B. B. No, here's what I'll say. If I have to go to Montgomery County, I'll have to drive that far. It's because Blue Mash is right around the corner.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We could always go up to
Hampshire Greens is closer.
Hampshire Greens is close. In a little minute. So it was good. It was good condition. Good ground.
Is Falls Road easier to get to for you?
Yes, it is.
Yes, you're great for Laytonville.
Yeah, I'd give it a C.
Okay.
I mean, it is what it is. It is not the crown jewel of Montgomery County,
right?
Municipal courses, but it's decent. You know,
And just to be fair, because I'm usually I try to be fair guy. It's late. What? It's early September, late August. Mm-hmm. So it's been through. This is Laytonville's in great condition considering that.
It's been through a season.
Right.
And you got other courses in the area that's trash.
And we'll get to one of those trash courses in a second.
I posted the other day or yesterday or today. Blue Mash had reseeded or aerated their practice green, and it's come back in. It is so, it looked like velvet.
Honestly,
I mean,
guys,
it is beautiful.
Blue
it
Mash.
Is so, it was,
I don't know what they're
I couldn't
doing
believe it. I couldn't believe how nice it was. I went 2 days in a row.
I think you had said that something about the superintendent. Like,
yeah, he need to be president. He should be president. Because he's doing a hell of a job.
I mean, Blue Mash.
He's doing better than the guy in the White House.
Blue Mash is always. Like, just on point. Shape. I mean, you know. So here's the thing. There's been several courses in the DMV that we have been tough on simply because they've been trash when we played them, right?
Yeah.
Now, since we've been on radio, the beginning of August, we haven't trashed one course in the DMV.
Nope.
Not one. Mm-mm. So it's been about a month since we've been on radio.
Right.
Well, did we trash? We didn't trash the one in Baltimore.
Not really.
We didn't go in hard.
Well, because you talked about the course layout is fine, et cetera, et cetera.
The greens are beautiful.
The greens are beautiful. Like, greens are beautiful.
The fairways were ate up.
Yeah. Right.
And you said that they mentioned the fairways were ate up.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So this is going to be our first trashing of a course since being on radio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's probably the course you wouldn't... I don't think you'd expect us to trash this.
No,
course.
Not at all. Not at those prices. Not at
because
all.
Because we've trashed on the podcast version of the show,
right.
Marlton.
Walden.
In Upper Marlboro. We've trashed Walden in Crofton. I think Marlton is probably worse than...
It's the punching bag. It's the go-to.
Trash, right. And Walden, it's bad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Walden should be too.
Yeah, Walden should be. And for nothing else, the fact that we had to wait almost an hour.
Oh, my God.
An hour and a half to even tee off.
Yeah,
really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would have left.
I only played 9 holes.
Okay.
And I wasn't even mad. I was like, I'm not missing anything.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's kind of, although playing with Glenn was fun.
Right.
So we scheduled a round at Renditions. Now, we've had mixed reviews about it. Every time I've played Renditions, it's been great.
Okay.
But LB, when you played...
Yeah, I've played over the years. And I mean, when I say over the years, I mean over the last 6 to 10 years I played. I don't play it every year. It's probably every other 2 or 3 years or something I play it. And I've never been impressed with it in the times that I've played it.
Now, Vern, have you ever played Renditions?
I have not. So what I'll say for the listeners, for me, I live in PG County, right around the corner from Renditions. Been playing since 2010, and I could never get a good read on it. I would meet two people, like you said, Claude. I would meet two people who'd be like, "Hey, man, you got to play Renditions," and then the next person would be like, "Oh, never play it."
Right.
So I've never played it until this time because I couldn't get a consensus. Was it good or bad?
Right. We want to bring Reggie on. Reggie, have you ever played Renditions?
Well, I played the when we played with LB and Vern. I think that was the first time that I played.
Okay,
but I don't know. I had mixed reviews about it. I mean, I heard good things about it, but the shape of the course. I mean, because when we booked the tee times, they gave us a heads up and they told us that the greens were being aerated. But as far as like the fairways and things like that, they weren't in good shape. And I think the reason that they were talking about is that we had a rough summer. You know, one of the hottest summers that we've had in a while. So, I mean, the fairways were not in good shape. It was, I mean, they were bare.
It was trash.
Thank you for setting me up, Reggie. Were they the only course in the DMV that had a hot summer?
Was it only hot
in Davidsonville?
It was no excuse. LB was saying, there's no excuse.
I mean, hot?
Yeah.
Like, right off, what is that, 214 and 301? Like,
yeah, a course of that caliber, it shouldn't be in that type of shape.
When you sell yourself as golf's Grand Slam experience here in the DMV, you cannot be trash.
Nope.
Right.
There's not one part of the court. And when you're charging what you're charging.
$90.
$93. And I don't think range balls were included.
No, they weren't.
They were not.
Because I remember when I went to pay, and I looked at the time, I'm like, well, I don't really have time to hit the range balls anyway.
Right.
So he's like, okay, well, I won't add them. Because that was an extra charge.
That was an extra charge.
So $90, your course is trash. You've aerated.
Yeah.
And I can't get range balls.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to take the aerated part out because everybody's doing that at this time of the year. But like you said, listen, you guys never heard me complain about price. I want to go play Bully Rock because $120. I don't care. Let's do it.
Right.
$93
for some trash.
Bro.
But to give them credit, though, I mean, when we did book the tee times, they did say the next time we played it, they'll give us a 2-for-1 deal. So, I mean, they did say that, but like LB said, he said, I'm not coming back.
Good comeback.
He said, I'm not coming back.
No, I'm not coming back. Why would I come back even if for free, why would I come back?
Right,
you know what I mean?
I agree.
So, and there's a few reasons for this.
Okay.
They don't even mention the fact that every fairway is ate up. Right. Yeah. They don't even mention the fact that every tee box is chewed up.
Yep. Right.
At least the grill was open.
Yeah. Yeah.
At some point, you know, whatever that's worth.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they give you this 2-for-1
to make you come back.
What difference some more does that money. Make?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Why is it? Why isn't it a? You can play for free. You can come back and play for free.
Right.
When the course is in better condition. Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it expires
two for one.
No, it expires this. It's just year two.
Yes. Oh, yeah. December 31st, 2019.
Yeah,
I'm
done
and with
so,
him.
And my thing is this: it's like okay. So what you're saying is the course is. Well, they only mentioned aeration.
Wait.
So,
I'm learning this for you said 2-for-1. That thing wasn't a free round?
No, it was 2-for-1.
That's why you were saying what you were saying about $45.
Right. It means we can come.
Oh, hell no.
Right. It's like we can come back with a buddy and we get to split once.
Right.
First of all, why would I want to take anybody to your trash course?
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Number one. Although I did take Seth Mason to a few trash courses. No, and they were trash.
Hey, man, look. I'll say this. At least Walden knows what they are. They charge $50.
Exactly.
$93?
At least I'll drive
an hour to Worthington.
No, yeah. Exactly. Right. And I'll pay more. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lake Presidential is in that area.
Yeah.
Oak Creek is in that area.
Enterprise
is in the area. Yeah. Bowie is in the area.
Yeah.
And at least it only costs $25.
And it's a shame that we had to lose Glendale.
Right, Glendale.
Yeah, it's gone, yep.
And your golf's Grand Slam experience?
Right.
Here's another reason why I think it's kind of a ripoff. And it could just be because of my golf acumen or IQ or whatever. I don't recognize any of the holes except four of them.
Yeah. Amen Corner?
I mean, they say...
Yeah, Amen Corner and
Amen
Sawgrass.
Corner and we got to talk about Sawgrass. This is the reason why the round was saved.
Okay.
The Sawgrass hole. The Island Green.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that in a second.
LB's determination.
You ride up and they tell you, okay, this is hole number 3 at Royal Port Rush. And none of it really looks
like it.
You get Amen Corner, yes. And the Island Green at TPC Sawgrass. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
The rest of them look like this another hole at another course.
Yeah.
If you didn't tell me what it was, I would never know what it was.
Yeah.
Renditions.
Yeah. And I'll tell you another thing. I think we were in a group before you guys.
Yeah.
But I think two of the holes the sprinklers were on.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah. And you didn't have plates or automatic shutoffs or a person over there.
Right.
Exactly.
That's right, because y'all cart got wet up or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
So you're out putting on the green and then the sprinkler is getting the cart wet.
Exactly.
Cut it off.
And none of the grounds people were around to cut it off
Yeah. It was nuts. BS. It was some straight BS going on that day.
It was trash.
Yeah.
So, first of all, let's just grade it. For me, this might be the first time. No, it's not the first time. First time for radio that I've given a course an F.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Renditions gets an F.
Mm-hmm.
But.
And hold up. Before you. Even the staff was not. You know what I mean? They were just regular guys. You know, I didn't feel any. I didn't feel welcome. You know what I mean? Some places you go.
Whiskey Creek.
Yeah. Everybody's like, hey, how you doing? Good morning. Come on in. Let me help you bag. These guys are like, yeah,
the guys at Whiskey Creek won't even let you touch your bag.
Yeah.
Right. You open the trunk. They got the cart up to your car. They're grabbing your bag. No, I got it. They're putting it on it.
Exactly. I didn't get none of that. None of that for my $93. Even the guy at the desk, like, he was just, you know, I'm here. I'm a 9-to-5er. You know what I mean? I'm here to do my job and get out of here. I don't really care if you play or not.
I give it an F.
Yeah.
But if I hear rumors that it's back,
I ain't going.
You can tell me about it when you play,
because I ain't going.
So
I didn't want to go the first time. The only reason I went because y'all was going. I was like, okay, I'll give him another chance. Because every time I've gone,
it's been not great.
It's been crap.
Right.
And I've gone. And usually we used to go back when Sherman used to go for his birthday, which is in July. Early July, I think it's the 2nd or something.
Oh, okay.
So we would always go for his birthday.
Like July 4th weekend-ish or something. Okay.
And it was always, 100 degrees. And the course to me was never all that. I was never impressed with it at all.
Right.
So,
So F.
Yeah, F.
And
absolutely.
You're never going back.
No,
and you'll never recommend anyone.
Until one of you go and tell me.
Don't look at me.
It's good, then I'll go back. If I'm going by, Joe Blow sitting at a bar telling me, oh, you got to go to renditions. Oh, hell no. I'm not doing that.
Vern,
expelled.
Okay. It's
great.
So it's never
flunked.
Now we've played Walden together.
Yes.
Would you play if you had to choose one?
Well, I would play Walden first. You know why? It's $50.
It's 50
bucks.
Right.
They know what they are.
Right.
And they know what they are. Not 93. You know what? I'll say this. What makes it such a shame, even with the holes maybe not being so recognizable, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else about the course has the $93 appearance, right? The clubhouse is really nice. The practice area looks decent. Everything about it says it should be really nice or whatever. But they just extra regular. Mm-hmm. And then, the fairways, man, just super trash. Yeah. It sucks, too, as a PG County person where we only got four courses anyway. Right. That was one of them. Right. And now that one's out.
Yeah, no, crazy. Yeah, so get that for me.
Reggie,
before I do that, we were talking about Walden. This past Sunday, or two Sundays ago, myself, my wife Sierra, and Manny, we went out to play Gunpowder.
Mm-hmm.
Much better condition.
Gunpowder, okay.
Gunpowder and Laurel. Much better condition than Renditions.
Really?
Much better condition. And they don't even try at Gunpowder. I mean, no, not to them. I mean, but they want to keep low prices. They want they want kids and families out.
It's a practice course.
Right.
Yeah.
Way better. Reggie, you're great for Renditions.
You know what? I'm going to probably give him a D minus.
Okay.
And the
that's
reason
great.
I give him a D minus is because,
nice.
I tell you what, it was my first time playing, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they were just having a tough year. Mm. You know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to play any time this year. I will go next year. But as far as, like, the layout of it, I mean, it was somewhat challenging. You know, the hazards, the layout of it. Mm-hmm. You could tell it could be a great course if it was in much better shape.
Right.
But...
Right.
Again, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
right. How did you enjoy Amen Corner and the Island Green?
And which one was that?
Amen Corner was nine.
The Masters with the whiteboard on the left.
I like that. I like that.
It was cool seeing the board and stuff.
I parred that hole, so
nice.
I like that.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Allen Green.
Must we?
So everybody knows, so that's TPC Sawgrass.
Uh-huh.
Basically, you know, there's water surrounding the green.
It's an island.
It's an island.
An island green because it's surrounded by water.
Not a big green either.
Lots of slopes, too.
Yep. Right. Yep. Who teed off first? You did? Did Claude teed off first or Vern?
Claude teed off first.
Yeah.
And he was...
First ball right on the green.
Right on the green.
Then Vern steps up.
Yeah.
Vern
was on the back left of the green.
Was in the back. Yeah. Right.
Tees up.
Right.
Back left of the green.
Yep. And it was Montnat on the first par three I said.
No, hold on. Now, how far are we talking? From where we were playing, this was 100 yards.
Right around 100 yards.
100-yard shot.
Yeah, it's right around 100 yards.
Okay.
Maybe 105 at the max.
Keep that in mind, folks.
Okay.
Right.
So on one of the earlier par threes, I stepped up and I said... Oh, I'm not going to hit a hole in one on this one. I'm going to save my hole in one for Island Green.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to hit a hole in one, it may as well be the Island Green.
Why not?
I mean,
that's
exactly.
The one, yeah.
Right. So it was my turn, and I got up there, and I hit one, and it was headed straight for the pin.
Straight for the pin. Oh, my God.
And then it fell about 20 yards short of the green into
the water.
The golf gods heard your blaspheming about hitting a hole in one.
Now, wait, before you do this, as we're waiting on the tee box for the guys in front of us to finish,
right.
LB goes through this story about Rodney.
Right,
about you and Rodney were playing some course
that
had a similar Allen Green, and you were ragging Rodney for...
No, I wasn't ragging him. I'm just telling you, it's a true story. He would corroborate this. So we early in our golf careers.
So before you do that, so everyone listening, just take out the fact that you heard he put the first one in the water.
Okay.
This hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
As we're driving up to the tee box, you're telling us the story about Rodney.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Right. So this was early in our golf careers. We were in, we stayed at Don Shula's Resort in Miami, which I do not recommend at all. It's crap. We didn't know because it was early enough to call for it.
Right.
Exactly. It was some trash. But they did have a semi-island green. And at one point, we got to this green. It was me, Rodney, a guy named Kevin, and my wife played. And Rodney put 7 balls in the water trying to get to this green. So it got so bad that the grounds people that was on the side, like, stopped. And just folded their arms and stood there and watched. So we had a gallery watching Rodney put 7 balls into the water.
Oh my God.
Okay. And he kept, every time he would go back and get another ball, he would say, F them, I got a bag full of balls. He just kept plopping them, kept hitting them, and they kept going in the water. Now he's finally got one over
now he's
there.
He's telling us this story as we're pulling out
that's
to T-Box.
Right.
Now,
right.
We rejoin the story.
Make his hole in one.
We rejoin the story already in progress. I'm on the green.
Right.
Burns on the green. LB has already put one in the water.
Right.
What did you do next?
I drop another ball. Of course. You always keep 2 balls in your pocket, right?
Right. So you're like, okay.
I drop another ball.
Because how many times have we made a bad first shot and then you just drop a ball, you hit the second shot, and it's perfect?
Right.
Exactly. It's only 100 yards.
It's only 100 yards.
I'm thinking it's like, cool, he'll drop this one, he'll hit real quick, we'll be up there.
each other. No problem. No problem. Because short game is my thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my thing, right?
Except.
So, except that day. So I drop another ball, and this one goes in the water as well.
Okay.
Right. So then I go to my cart, and I grab two more balls, and I come back.
Right.
So I drop the next one. That one hit again. Great shots. Hit it straight for the green. Mm-hmm. It comes a little bit short, and it ricochets off the wood pylon in front of them,
right,
and ricochets back into the water.
Now I want to say,
so we're at three now.
Yeah, right, we're at three. And at this point, LB's like laughing to himself, and I can't tell if this is a sad situation or what's happening. Because I'm like laughing hesitantly. Okay, we're leaving now, right? And he laughs like the Joker, like a madman, as he goes back to his bag to get more balls. And I said, "Oh, we're doing this."
Right. So ball number four, if I remember correctly, he chunks.
Right, I chunked that,
and it goes like 20 feet right into the water. Now, mind you, one of the young ladies there, who's the groundskeeper,
right,
she's over to the side near the bridge to walk over to the green,
right,
and she just stands there and moves back.
Right.
Vern and I have a side conversation. I'm like, she doesn't know that she's safe as long as she walks on the green, because he ain't hitting on the green. I proceed to pull off. I'm like, okay, I'm going to move up to the green. And so I drive up to the green. She looks at me and says, is he going to keep doing this? I said, oh, he's going to keep doing this. So we're on ball number four. So now go ahead with five.
Four. So five, I think I hit, and it went to the right of the island into the water. I think number six, I chunked again. It went 20 feet. Number seven went long left. It hit off the bridge that brings you up to the island green, ricocheted into the water. And number seven, I hit right as the guys that were behind us, the twosome behind us, and they were coming up, is when I hit the seventh ball, and I chunked that into the water. And that when they came, I was like, okay, I guess I'm done.
And he didn't say that, so I don't know what's going to happen, because I see him, he's still laughing after he hit it. I was like, am I going to have to like intervene and be like, just take his bag from him and just drive him up to the
dog? Stop it.
Yeah, but there was a period there between five and seven where I was like, is he legit not going to be able to hit a 100-yard shot? Like,
in front of him? Yeah, I legit could not hit a 100-yard shot.
It was nuts. And I feel like Renditions was also the course where I was like, I got to give this game. Where did golf, like, just take my heart? Was it Renditions? No, it was
Other Brain. That wasn't PB. Was that PB Dive?
That was PB Dive.
PB Dive.
And we'll have more on PB Dive next week, folks. Yeah. Golf DMV, Federal News Network, 1500 AM, golfdmvpodcast.com. Buy a hat, buy a bag, buy a shirt.
Please, about something, yes.
And we'll check in next week in much quieter situations.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I wish you guys nothing but best. The ceiling is the roof.
Hey, everybody. It's Claude from Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network and Podcast One. Want to invite you to join myself and Kevin Stanfield for the Federal Football Report this football season. Join us every day at 7 p.m. following the Redskins game. And we're bringing back for a third season America's favorite segment, Fake News or Not. Again, that's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network on 1500 AM.
This is Golf DMV.